Welcome to episode 2 of Gunslingers. I guess kind of episode 1 of Gunslingers. We didn't really have a name.
Got that name figured out.
Gunslingers.
I am Brennan Byrne. I'm here with AR, which fits perfectly with the Gunslinger name.
Oh, yes. We didn't really try to do that. That kind of just fell perfectly into place, too.
Yeah, those are the best kind of things. It just kind of happen.
Just nice little surprises that we get.
I guess before we get into the games, we'll talk about our records a little bit. We had a so-so week.
Yeah, you know, first week, not too bad. Not too bad for the first week. We got to feel out all the teams, get the layout for their offenses and defenses.
It is always the most random week of the NFL season, too.
Oh, 100%.
So I was 8-7.
Then I went 7-6. And I forgot my pick to the Steelers and Bengals game, so we did not count that one in there.
I want to say you picked the Bengals.
I probably did pick the Bengals. So 7-7. I went 500.
Oh yeah, they did lose. In my head, I was giving you a win because they should have won that game.
They should have won like 3 different times. But kickers and long snappers. I guess you need them in the NFL.
Did you see the I think it was Chris Boswell's first miss.
Oh my gosh, the doink?
It must have been his second one. It was like a curveball though. I have never seen a kick move that way my entire life. It went like all the way out to the left. And then curved back in, looked like it was going to make it, and then did another little move and hit. I think that was the doink.
The doink, that was the loudest. That was one of the loudest doinks I've heard. And like I've stated, I'm a Bears fan, so I've lived through the double doink. And I think Boswell's doink.
I forgot about that.
Takes it for the loudest.
I should have brought that up. Why didn't I bring that up?
That was a dark day in my life, the double doink. I about jumped out my window that day and just said, good night, world. But, you know, we don't got Cody Parkey anymore. I don't even think he's in the league anymore. So
he's got to be gone, right?
He should be. Last I knew, he was in Cleveland for a little bit. But I think they got rid of him.
And that's where careers go to die.
True. But it looks like Cleveland might have found a kicker.
Oh, they definitely found their kicker. We'll get to that in a bit. A lot of bad days for kickers, but not for Cleveland's kicker.
That is true.
I guess start with the Saints-Falcons. I didn't watch this game very closely.
I didn't have it on TV locally, but I took the Saints. It looked like an interesting close game. Another game that came down to a final kick.
I took the Saints as well. I did not think it was going to be that close.
No, I did not either.
It is week one, so it's hard to have some definitive takes.
Mm-hmm.
But the Falcons offense, on just glancing over, looks like they might have something. I still don't understand Cordarrell Patterson's resurgence the last 2 years.
I have no clue because he's like mid-30s too, almost.
Just 30. He just woke up at 30 and was like, hey, I'm a really good running back now.
Yeah, I'm top 10 in the league, number 1 in fantasy almost every week now. That's crazy. Jameis Winston had a huge game. Michael Thomas came back with 2 touchdowns.
Did he have 2 touchdowns? I didn't even notice that.
Yardage, but 2 touchdowns. Jarvis Landry had over 100 yards receiving. Honestly, didn't watch it. Not sure how good Marcus Mariota did, but I'm guessing he played pretty well. They should have won the game. They were up double digits going into the fourth quarter. And like Atlanta Falcons style, they lose it.
I didn't really watch it, like I said, but I did read that the Falcons were giving the Saints some trouble with some read options and just option plays with Mariota.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I think Arthur Smith's spicing up the offense there this year.
Yeah, they should have a quick offense just on the go.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. All right, what's our next game? We got the 49ers and Bears.
Your Bears.
Oh, this was a delight for me. I did not see this coming. I thought the Bears were going to get beat by at least 14.
Same.
The rain might have helped us, but then again, San Francisco has a Super Bowl defense, and they're supposed to be the best running team in the NFL, and we shut that down.
What? Elijah Mitchell did start off hot and then got hurt.
He did get hurt.
So I'll throw that in there. He's on my fantasy team, so that hurt me pretty bad. That really hurt.
Trey Lance did not look the best. Also, it was a monsoon game, so both quarterbacks weren't really throwing the ball great, but Justin Fields had 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards.
He also had my favorite clip of the day after they won. He did the slip and slide.
Oh, yeah, the slip
got up
inside
and flexed. Yeah, I love that.
I saw that all over social media the last 2 days, and I've loved every second. I probably favorited every tweet that I've seen that in. But I was hugely surprised. Bears look good. Team looks confident.
I think Lance and Fields are, and their quarterbacks I wanted the Lions to have, first of all. So I'm watching them closely And they're two guys that have kind of been kind of, I don't know, maybe written off to a degree already,
which
early
is crazy.
In their careers.
Yeah, not even 2 years in. Just started the first game of their second year. Trey Lance, he's played less than Justin Fields. But yeah, both have not even started a full season, and people are already saying they're busts.
And Trey Lance has played what? He has not played much football at all.
Oh,
just
no,
in general.
Yeah, he started 1 year at, what was it, North Dakota State?
Yeah.
Then they had the COVID year, which they played one football game. Then his rookie year, I think he got in like, what, the last three or four games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had an injured thumb during that period, too.
Yeah, the dude's got a freaking rocket arm. It's just he's got to get his accuracy down, and he's got to get comfortable.
They both have the tools, though. They both have the tools. I'm definitely looking forward to watching them the rest of the season.
Oh, 100%, yeah. 49ers will still be good. They had like 19 penalties on themselves that game. It was ugly. It was, oh my gosh. It was over 100 yards in penalties that Chicago got from 49ers.
I did tune into that one a little bit once I saw the rain, but at that point it was just... There's just so much rain and so much water on the field that neither team was doing anything, really.
No, you couldn't get footing or anything. Everyone was just slipping and sliding. Looked fun, though.
I've never seen a field with that much water on it. There was just literally just puddles everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our punter, when we're trying to kick a field goal, he's brought a towel out and wiped down the field. And we got a penalty for that because you're not allowed to do that.
You can't wipe down the field. For that?
Apparently, yeah. It took them like 10 minutes to figure it out. We're like, all right, no one's ever heard of this rule, but I guess it's in there. So, yeah, that was the punter's highlight for the day.
The NFL has truly thought of everything with their rules.
100%.
I would never have considered that as a rule. Well, obviously, he didn't know it was a rule. I'm sure the coaches were probably like, what?
I don't think the coaches knew either.
Incredible.
Something we come across. Incredible. There's at least one of those rules that get brought up every year.
Does this give you more optimism for the Bears season, or do you think it was kind of just a weird
game? It gives me more hope. It gives me hope in the coaching staff and our organization more than anything, because we don't have like the star players, but we got some hard workers. I don't think that we're the most talented team, but I think we're going to be hardworking and we'll be in every game.
In situations like the Bears are in and like my Lions are in, you just want to see them play hard for the coach, really.
100%. Yeah, you just want some football players that are going to get down and dirty.
Move on to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, one of the weirder games of the day.
Yeah, this was a crapshoot towards the end.
I had this one on my second screen while I was watching Lions and Eagles.
Mm. What'd you think about Joe Burrow? Think he'll bounce back after this game?
He'll definitely bounce back.
Yeah.
But it did seem like the Steelers had a really good game plan.
Mm-hmm.
They were taking away the big plays for the most part. And then Burrow trying to throw over the middle, threw into coverage a couple of times. He'll bounce back. It won't be a sign of things to come, I don't think. But
I agree. Yeah, he just tried to force the ball, get too cute a couple times. I think it was probably a little too big-headed going into this game.
It's one of those situations where you're playing Mike Tomlin and
they always have a good defense.
So that's a really brutal matchup for a week one matchup, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing them go to overtime when they had five turnovers, the Bengals?
Yeah, five turnovers.
And they only lose by three, that's kind of a bad sign for Pittsburgh, I think.
100%, and they missed two field goals that could have won them the game.
Yep. And there was a touchdown. Now, I don't know if you saw this.
Uh-uh.
Ja'Marr Chase scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
And it wasn't reeled a touchdown on the field. And then Zach Taylor didn't challenge it.
Really?
And this cost the Bengals the game, essentially.
Oh, I wasn't watching.
You can pull
that
up a screenshot. It's been all over Twitter now. Where you see the ball clearly in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Ja'Marr Chase scored the game-winning touchdown.
What'd they call it? Incomplete or just didn't pass
I think they called it down on the one. I don't remember, though.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that'll hurt. That'll hurt.
Brutal officiating. The line judge is right next to him in the picture.
Mm.
And then even more brutal for Zach Taylor to not throw the flag.
You got to throw it, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, week one for refs too, I guess.
That's true.
Steelers offense didn't look super impressive. I mean, Najee Harris did get hurt.
Yeah.
TJ Watt also did get hurt for the Steelers. So they lost like their two best players in week one for a couple weeks. Actually, Najee might be back, but TJ Watt's out for at least 6 weeks.
The Harris thing is a little concerning because he had the Liz Frank injury, and it's the same foot, I believe.
Ooh.
So hopefully that's not a lingering thing.
Hopefully not, especially with that offensive line. He's just going to get met at the line. Yes. Met at the 1 yard line every time.
And then TJ Watt was announced he's going to be out at least 6 weeks.
Yeah, he did not fully tear his pec, so no surgery required, thankfully.
They're going to need him.
Oh, 100%.
Their defense is completely different when he's off the field.
Yeah, he came out in like beast mode. He had like 3 sacks before he got hurt. It was insane.
They do have Brian Flores now to go with Mike Tomlin.
Oh, yeah.
And he tends to get the best out of everybody that's on the field, so I'm not too concerned. But TJ Watt is TJ Watt, one of the best players in the league.
Oh, yeah, reigning defensive player of the year.
And then, like we've kind of hinted at but really not talked about, the offense did not look good.
Yeah, I honestly didn't watch too much of the game to comment on the offense, but just based on the score and the end of the game, it didn't look like they could move the ball consistently. Deontay Johnson did have an amazing catch on the sideline. That one-handed climb up the tower and grab.
They're wide receivers, sorry. Should be incredible.
They should be. They always get good wide receivers. That's the one thing the Steelers can do, draft wide receivers.
And then even Pat Freiermuth at tight end is nice weapon.
He is. He's just Mr. Reliable.
It's just, if Mitchell Trubisky can be, he needs to be just an average quarterback. Mm-hmm. And their offensive line needs to be average.
Yeah.
And they're right now, both of them look to be not.
Below average.
Yes. Yeah, we'll say below to be nice.
All right. In the next game, Eagles and the Lions. How did you feel about your Detroit Lions?
I started off furious. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff looked terrible early. I ended up looking like an idiot, but there was a point in the game where I was complaining about how many first and second down runs they were having. And then it ended up, DeAndre Swift had almost 10 yards of carry by the end of the game.
Yeah,
so I was an idiot. But it's encouraging, but I need them to start winning some of these games.
Not just getting close, you need them to finish it off. I agree.
That was the story last year. They were in pretty much every game except the Eagles game last year. They lost by 30, maybe close to 30.
Yeah, a lot.
So it was nice to see them make it a closer game this year. But Jared Goff is still Jared Goff. That's the biggest takeaway.
Jared Goff still got a golf.
His pick six was, I mean, ultimately, a 7-point swing that, and you lose by 3. So if you don't throw that, in theory, you win. A lot of things happened after that, but.
So like you pointed to, this has got to be DeAndre Swift's one of his best games as a Lion so far. 144 yards, a touchdown on 15 carries.
Yeah, I think it was his best game.
That's productive.
And it was nice because the offensive line isn't healthy. The offensive line, the starting five that the Lions have been talking about for 2 years now, still has not played together.
Really? Who's been missing for the most part?
Last year, Ragnow was out at times. Decker was out at times. Mm. And now Vitae. Actually, I don't know how to say his name, I'll be honest.
Okay.
He's out. And Frank Ragnow is dealing with a little bit of an injury, too, but he's playing.
That's good. On paper, Detroit has a fantastic offensive line. It's just, like you said, if they can all get out there together.
Yeah, they have to play together.
Mm-hmm. On the Eagles side, Jalen Hurts had a decent game, nothing spectacular. He had some awesome scrambles. He threw for about 243. Nothing.
I think he won them the game.
What?
He won them the game.
He won them the game?
If it was a different quarterback, they don't win that football game.
Oh, yeah. Just with his legs?
Yes.
Yeah.
He had 91 rushing yards.
That'll do it.
He escaped multiple sacks. And a lot of his carries weren't design runs. Like you said, they were scrambles. Mm-hmm. And
he connected with A.J. Brown 10 times.
Actually, that was going to say, maybe A.J. Brown won them the game because the Lions actually did a decent job covering him.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think that when you see 10 for 155.
It was just that one huge reception that got him like 60, 70 yards.
And every time there was a Lion close to him, he just made every single possible contested catch.
Yeah.
And those were catches Eagles receivers were not making last year.
Oh, no. A.J. Brown's definitely their best receiver they've had in a while. And I don't even think Devontae Smith had that good of a game as their number two.
I don't think he had a catch. He might have one catch.
Maybe one for a couple yards. I didn't see his name.
He had a big drop as well.
Ooh, that'll hurt.
During the course of the game, I learned that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown have been friends off the field since A.J. Brown took a recruiting trip to Alabama. If I would have known that, I would have drafted A.J. Brown in every single fantasy league because he's going to be throwing to A.J. Brown a lot.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. That definitely would have been something I would have liked to know too.
Yeah, if I would have known that, I would have had him number one on my big board.
All right, next game, Dolphins and the Patriots. What are your takeaways from this game?
The Patriots offense might be as bad as we thought it was going to be coming into the year, or I thought it was going to be coming into the year. It's also one of those matchups where New England traveling to Miami just always seems to lose.
Yeah, that never works out for him for some
reason.
So
it's hard to really take away too much. Tua looked all right. He's taken a lot of chances, throwing it to Tyreek.
That first deep ball to Tyreek, though, that was god-awful. It went like 20 yards straight to the ground.
Was that the one? Oh, the one he missed.
Yeah, off the play action. He like got rid of it immediately after he faked the handoff. Tyreek was open by like 20 yards, and he just fluttered it out there.
There was also one that actually ended up being a completion where it was, I mean, he should not have thrown it probably, but Tyreek just made an incredible play.
Oh, is that the one where he took away from the defender? Like, yep. They both kind of had it. He's like, mine. Yep. Yeah, that's why you go out and get Tyreek Hill. He'll make those plays for you.
But I like the aggressiveness from 2-0 because I think he needs to be aggressive. He needs to be confident.
Oh, yeah. You don't just want him sitting back there scared, handing the ball off. You want him to take some shots.
Really a brutal day for the Patriots. Mac Jones came out of the game at one point. Had to be pulled from the post-game press conference for back spasms.
Oh, geez.
Hopefully that's not a reoccurring problem, but back issues with any football player is not ideal, to say the least.
Especially if it's a nagging, ongoing problem. Yep. But yeah, honestly, I didn't get to watch this game, out-of-market game, but Patriots, I don't know. I guess just work on your offense. Hopefully Mac Jones is healthy. Try to get a running game. Because they usually bounce between, what, like three running backs?
Yeah, I think Damian Harris is the guy, should be the guy, just based on what I've seen from him in the last 2 years. But I don't think Bill really likes to have that running back he's going to give 250 carries to a year. You know?
No, they've never really had that star running back
ever
throughout his tenure there.
But they do have some good ones. Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson should be pretty good.
Yeah, they got solid people that can get you yards. But nothing.
Just right now you have Matt Patricia and I want to say, do you know Judge's first name? The former
Joe Judge?
Giants? Joe Judge.
Yeah,
Joe I was Judge. Thinking of, was Aaron Judge, the Yankee?
Yeah, baseball player.
Yeah, I could only think of Aaron and Mike Judge from King of the Hill. So you have those two guys calling plays right now. Judge, special teams guy, notoriously, and then Patricia, former defensive coordinator and failed head coach. Both failed head coaches, but...
True. Terribly failed.
At some point, you have to think Bill just takes the reins, and then I think at that point they'll be fine. But until then, I think they'll continue to struggle.
I agree. And I also suggest next offseason hire an actual offensive coordinator.
Yes. Somebody that's not Matt Patricia.
Yeah. Get someone new. I know Bill's kind of like Saban. He likes to recycle these old head coaches, but none of them have an offensive experience, really.
Yeah.
Or proven that they can run an offense. So you need to get someone that can actually run an offense and get you 10 yards. But who's to question Bill Belichick?
Right. It's hard to question Bill Belichick. It really is.
All right. Next game, we had the Ravens and the Jets, which was pretty close early on. Then after the second half, the Ravens kind of just blew away with it.
This is one I really did not pay any attention to. It's...
No, I just saw clips.
Would have liked to have seen the Jets compete a little bit more. I think they should be an improved team this year, but...
Oh my gosh, Joe Flacco threw the ball 59 times. That you should not be having Joe Flacco toss the ball 59 times in NFL
2022?
Game
no way.
No, you went 37 for 59, 307 yards. Not bad, but 59 attempts and a touchdown.
And they have good running backs. Michael Carter,
and they
Breece
just drafted,
Hall.
Yeah.
So like
they got good wide receivers. Just that quarterback, I guess. 59 times, Joe Flacco. That's mind-boggling to me.
It's interesting that they basically ruled out Zach Wilson for the first, was it 3 or 4 weeks? When
Pretty
they really
much.
Didn't have to?
Yeah, I think he, what, a strain, knee strain, and maybe halfway torn meniscus?
Yeah. I think he has potential to come back, but they've said nah. So I don't know if they're just being overly cautious or if they don't like him.
I honestly think they don't think he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
I think they figured that out already. which is soon, but I don't know. Just from what I've seen from him, he doesn't look like he's going to be a franchise quarterback.
He's had a couple of flash plays here and there, but not enough for me to have any confidence in him.
Mm-hmm. But it's his second year. He's hurt. Give him some time still. But yeah, I just don't see the potential like in Justin Fields or Trey Lance or even Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he has the same tools that those other guys you mentioned have.
No. Lamar Jackson, though, he proved he could throw that football today.
The future highest paid player in NFL history, Lamar Jackson.
Indeed. He threw three touchdown passes, and all three of them were like on the money darts, too. They were nice.
He's an underrated passer.
He is. He can sling that thing.
I think it's weird that he still is this far into his career. Mm. I think it's just really hard for him to remove the running back stigma that he came into the league with.
Yeah, once you get labeled as something coming into the league, it's hard to get past that.
He's improved his passing every single year he's been in the NFL.
100%. And he's an MVP. And they're going to have a good shot to make the Super Bowl this year if he keeps throwing the ball like that.
And their running game, it seems to have been poor this game. But they'll get Dobbins back and Gus Edwards back in another couple of weeks. So.
Oh, yeah. I think Dobbins is going to be good for him if he can stay healthy.
It should be fine.
All right. Then we had the Commanders and the Jags.
Another game I did not watch.
Did not either. Carson Wentz looks like he had a good game.
It's one of those Carson Wentz games where I saw some highlights. I'm like, this guy's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then he always finds a way to throw a couple interceptions. But they won the game, so it's hard to criticize him too much.
It's true. They won the game. Carson Wentz had a couple Carson Wentz moments. Then he also had a couple MVP Carson Wentz moments.
Then Antonio Gibson had 58 rushing yards, 72 receiving yards, and he was almost the backup coming into the year before Brian Robinson got shot.
Yeah, I heard he was supposed to be the backup until he got shot. That's crazy. Well, hopefully he keeps his job, but I heard Brian Robinson might be back week 6, week 5 from his injuries.
Hopefully he doesn't have any adverse effects of being shot and he comes back the player they thought he was going to be. Because if they have a tandem of backs like that, they could be an interesting team.
Oh, yeah. You got Gibson for the passing and elusiveness, and Robinson's that big down back.
Also, Terry McLaurin and then Jahan Dotson had a great game to start off his year.
They got Curtis Samuel, too. They got some good weapons.
And if the defense can be, they were terrible last year. We talked about it in the preview show. Mm-hmm. They were terrible last year. They were really good the year before. So if they can go back to that 2020 year, they might be a frisky team.
I can believe it.
And then the Jacksonville Jaguars. A little bit of a letdown from them, I think.
Yeah, they didn't really have anyone stand out too bad. I mean, Christian Kirk went over 100 yards, which is probably good for them because they paid him big wide receiver money in the
offseason.
Yeah,
they need that from him.
Travis Etienne, not too bad. Four carries, 47 yards, 11.8 average. Then he had a catch, two catches for 18. Just, I don't know. I didn't watch it. I didn't see how their offense looked. I'm just looking at the box scores.
Yeah, just box score watching, watch some highlights, but they didn't seem to be as improved as I thought they might be on offense.
Yeah, I don't think Trevor Lawrence has found that flow yet to get him in.
They did have an incredible play from their number one overall pick. Did you see the interception he pulled off?
Mm-mm. Walker got one?
Yes. It was on a screenplay, and he just kind of just snatches it out of the air and runs it. He also had a sack, I believe.
Oh, there you go.
So good start for him.
Start for the rookie.
But move on to Cleveland, Carolina, the
yes
revenge game that was not.
Almost got it, but yes, was not. Baker came up short. He played. I watched a little bit of the first half, then I watched the final minutes, but he was not looking good the first few drives of the game. I think they had the first three drives, they had negative total yardage with Carolina, and they finally got it turned around in like the second quarter. But yeah, not the best game you want to see from Mayfield, but honestly not terrible. 16 for 27, 235 and a tutty.
As much as I don't want to talk about Deshaun Watson, this is a good sign for the Browns. They can win football games with Jacoby Brissett before they get Watson back.
Mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett's like the perfect backup quarterback. He can just manage the field. He won't give you too many dumb turnovers. and he'll give you a shot to win.
And you'll make a he can make a couple of plays that you're like, what? Did Jacoby Brissett really just do that? That's what you need from a backup. Donovan Peoples-Jones had an encouraging performance. They're going to need him to be really good. I think once the Predator gets behind center, we'll see a big uptick.
I don't think he played much. He only had 3 receptions, though. I don't think he played much.
That's another... Jacoby Brissett is... I mean, he's obviously much more limited than Watson.
Yeah, he doesn't have the arm talent or legs.
So they just need to scrape a couple of wins, be in some decent position when Watson comes back, and
they'll be
a contender if they can do that.
At least close to .500 when Watson comes back.
Yep.
And it looks like they found a kicker. Their rookie kicker hit a, 58-yarder? Yeah, York hit a 58-yarder to give them the win. So there you go, Browns. You got a kicker now. That's good.
And a lot of Baker Mayfield fans were sent home crying.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Browns fans left the Browns to follow them, to follow Baker to the Panthers.
Well, yeah, that's because this era nowadays.
Yeah.
Is,
And a lot of it, I guess, morally, I'm sure it's hard to root for a Deshaun Watson and a team that decided to get Deshaun Watson. But the Carolina Panthers were also a finalist for Deshaun Watson. So it's like, if you're going to leave a team for that reason, I'm not sure the Panthers are really the team to go to for that. But
and I don't want to see no Pittsburgh Steelers fans coming at Brown.
Oh, like, yeah. Come on, man. Steelers fans, you have no room to talk.
You had Big Ben. I'm from the same town as Big Ben. I know his history. Y'all cheered him on. Y'all will be at the Hall of Fame in a couple years cheering them on. So your mouths are zipped right now.
I think that was the first thing I asked you when you told me where you were from. I was like, are you a Big Ben fan?
Nope. No, sir. Respect him. Respect his on-the-field play, but no.
Yes. No. Incredible quarterback, future Hall of Famer.
Yes, but...
But Predator.
Predators. Not the movie. All right, what is the... Oh, we got the Colts and the Texans are...
Tie. We had a tie in the NFL week one.
A heads up before we get into the Colts and Texans. There was an issue with recording during this game. I really have no idea what happened, but there was some glitch with the software, I guess. So a lot of it has been... It's kind of choppy audio, I'll say that. It looks like it dropped out at points for the recording and came back. Basically, the main points we were trying to make were... It seems like Frank Reich has much more confidence in Matt Ryan than he did Carson Wentz, letting him throw the ball a ton. At times last year, you would see him bench Carson Wentz while still letting him be on the field, essentially. So, you know, he'd throw an interception, and then he just wouldn't let Wentz throw again, really. They'd just lean heavily on Jonathan Taylor, which, that's, I mean, he's Jonathan Taylor. But it's a little bit different than how Carson Wentz was handled in Washington this week. He threw 2 interceptions. Second interception, he goes off the field, and Ron Rivera grabs him and says, hey, you're going to have to win this game. Eventually, he did. We also had some discussion about Lovie Smith being Lovie Smith, kind of a conservative coach playing for the tie. I think that actually might have still stayed in the recording, but apologize for the issue. We'll try and clean it up next week.
The Colts and the Texans, two stellar teams, could just not beat each other out for it.
At the end of this game in overtime, Lovie Smith decided to play for the tie. Just, it's a very Lovie Smith thing to do, as I'm sure you know.
Yes, I do.
And a very Houston Texans thing to do. Rex Burkhead is their leading rusher.
Yeah, with 40 yards. And Davis Mills only throws for 240. Come on, you gotta put the ball in the end zone more than that.
Especially how much they've talked up Matt Ryan, late stage of his career, Matt Ryan.
Yeah, as soon as he went there, everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's like Peyton Manning is in the building again, the way he runs an offense and talks and everything.
Maybe the same size forehead.
Possibly. They might have had Peyton's helmet left over for him. All right, speaking of a Manning, up next we got Giants and the Titans.
My upset pick of the week that almost didn't happen.
Yeah, I totally did not have this one. I thought the Titans were going to destroy them.
At one point, I thought that's how it was going to go. And then somehow the Giants pulled it out I mean, Saquon looked like Saquon. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think Saquon would be that again, but he came out and shut me up for sure. He rushed for 164. Attaboy.
I actually could have traded for him in fantasy, but I was like, I got it. It was a pretty favorable trade now seeing him play like this.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't think he's going to be good.
Yep. That's my thinking too. I avoided him in all drafts. But hey, tops to him. He had 6 catches for 30 yards too.
And Derrick Henry always starts slow.
Yeah.
So I'm not really worried. But he did go off the field at one point, was a little banged up. But I think he came back and was okay.
All right. So they're going to need him because they don't really have great backup running backs. I guess Dontre Hillard's all right, but.
I'm a Hassan Haskins truther.
I think they drafted him?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he'll be the number two guy eventually. But, I mean, nobody's Derrick Henry.
Yeah, nobody's Derrick Henry.
And their receivers are just
not good.
They don't have any. The fact that they didn't find the money for A.J. Brown is just unbelievable.
Their best wide receiver is Robert Woods, and he's, I would say, probably past his prime now after coming off an ACL injury, too.
He's an okay guy, but I would not want him as my number one.
No, and your number two is a rookie, Treylon Burks from Arkansas.
And I mean, they have a couple of guys like Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. Is like he's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want all 3 to 4 of your starting receivers to be, oh, that guy's okay.
That's how the Bears are too right now.
But the Bears didn't have an elite guy in the building that they just decided to give away.
No, correct.
Well, kind of. Kind of. He didn't.
He's not on A.J. Brown.
I'm just realizing we skipped over the first game of the week, by the way.
Oh, yeah. The Bills.
We did not
Rams.
Do Buffalo-Los Angeles. You want to backtrack to that one?
Yeah, we'll go back to that one.
Maybe the biggest surprise of the week for me was how bad the Rams lost. I did pick the Bills to win, but I didn't think it was going to be like that.
No, the Bills' defense looks crazy good. The addition of Von Miller, I didn't think he'd do anything, but he came out and had 2 sacks and multiple QB pressures.
And they were just rotating guys on that D-line,
oh,
too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, like, they
were always
scary.
Fresh.
They got depth. Josh Allen looked amazing. They still don't really have a running back, per se, but I guess you don't really need one.
They have, yeah, they can rotate the 3 guys, except James Cook immediately came in and fumbled that.
I don't think did they give him the ball after that again? I didn't see him the rest of the game.
I don't think he was back in after that.
No, he has the most potential, I believe, out of all their running backs, too.
Same.
And it's just one fumble and you're out. It reminded me of the Kareem Hunt. When he first played, he's like, he's never fumbled in his career than his first one he fumbles. But
he's got to get it out of the way, maybe.
Yeah, he came back in the game and ran for like almost 200 yards. But the Bills didn't want to give James Cook that opportunity.
I am the world's biggest Matthew Stafford fan. I think that's without question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned.
You think he looked good?
I think it's the worst game I've ever seen him play.
I think he was just eyeing Cooper Kupp too much.
He does have the tendency to do that. And there was a couple of plays. I saw a super cut of every single route Allen Robinson ran. And a lot of them weren't great. He was covered on a lot of them, but there were a couple times where he was open and Stafford hit like a running back on a check down or something or through a...
I think that'll build throughout the year. He probably just doesn't have too much trust in him right now, which I don't know why.
Stafford looked uncomfortable, though.
He did. He's probably still got the Super Bowl hangover. Maybe that was his wake-up call.
He's got the elbow issue, too.
Stafford's always got something.
I'm wondering if it's... So they say it's a pain tolerance thing. Which he notoriously has a great pain tolerance.
Yeah.
But if it might be affecting his throwing motion a little bit. He missed a lot of throws that he would normally make. He also had some bad reads where maybe it was a miscommunication with a receiver or something. I'm not fully hitting the panic button, but it was, like I said, the worst game I've ever seen him play. And with the elbow thing lingering, I have some concerns. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they'll be fine, though.
And he got sacked 7 times.
Yeah, the offensive line.
That did not help.
They need Andrew Whitworth back. They need to get the 40-year-old man back on the field.
Yeah, which is sad to say. But yes, they need some protection because you can't have Matthew Stafford getting sacked 7 times. It's just not going to work out great for you.
And you can't have Jalen Ramsey getting cooked.
Oh, my gosh. By Gabriel Davis and Stephon Diggs.
He gave up a perfect passer rating.
Yep.
Through the game. Did have a play in the end zone,
mm-hmm.
but then they immediately gave up a touchdown the next play.
Yeah, so it didn't even matter.
Yeah, just.
But yeah, all in all, Buffalo just completely dominated the Rams. And after week one, I would say they look like the best team in football.
Yes. Yeah. I want to change my Super Bowl pick and have the Bills winning. No, that's that.
The Rams.
Week one hot pick. Rams are not making the Super Bowl. Bills are making the Super Bowl. They're going to win every game by at least 21. That's my week one hot take.
My Super Bowl is still good. I got the Bills winning against the Rams. All right, our next game. This is a shocker. The Packers versus the Vikings. The Packers did not look like the Packers. Aaron Rodgers did not look like Aaron Rodgers.
I think I don't know how much to read into this game.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings were one of the, I think, only three teams to beat the Packers last year. And the Packers also got blown out by the Saints last year.
That is true.
In week one. It's impossible to doubt Aaron Rodgers. I think eventually they'll figure it out.
100%. I'm still counting them in the playoffs 100%. Probably still getting the division too.
They also had first play of the season, first throw of the season. Should have been a 75-yard touchdown to Christian Watson.
Dropped.
He just let it fall right through his hands. If he catches that and they start off that hot, they probably win the game.
Probably,
I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to say that, but it just...
Yeah, you don't get Aaron Rodgers hating his wide receivers right after the first play.
Yeah.
Which I think he does a lot. You can just tell he gets frustrated at his wide receivers. And he even mentioned it kind of sucks not having his security blanket in Davante Adams. Well, maybe don't take all the money so Davante Adams can have some.
That is something I want to talk about. I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people are giving Aaron Rodgers a pass because the wide receivers stink. And I think the wide receivers will be fine at the end of the day.
I do too.
But how much of it is Aaron Rodgers' fault? He spent the last 2 to 3 years being non-committal to the Packers, non-committal to football in general.
Complaining about his wide receivers too.
And yeah. And now Adams is gone. And like, how much of Adams' decision was like, why would I play for this guy if he's not going to commit?
100%. I would have done the same thing. I'm like, I don't want to be stuck in Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Especially when my best friend is playing in Las Vegas. It's pretty nice in Las Vegas.
Yep. Nice weather. No freaking income tax. I'm going to go to Las Vegas. But yeah, on the Vikings side, your baby boy, Justin Jefferson, went
my biggest baby
off.
Boy. The second coming of Randy Moss, maybe.
Possibly. Hats off. I had him on my fantasy team. He got me a dub this week. I doubted Kirk Cousins. He proved me wrong. He had a very efficient game. And you know what? I usually crap on the Vikings. I don't like the Vikings. I hate them almost as much as the Packers. And they might be good this year. The Vikings might be good. And that's hard for me to say.
We talked a little bit before in the pre-show. I think Kevin O'Connell, just being an offensive mind, should improve them a lot. Mm-hmm. Mike Zimmer. I really think Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins had a real healthy or unhealthy amount of tension.
Oh, yeah. I think there's some feuding between them.
And this offense should, I think they'll cook.
I think they will.
I mean, 9 for 184 and 2 touchdowns for week one and Justin Jefferson, that's an incredible performance.
Oh, yeah. Yes, very good. Vikings look good. Running backs are good. Wide receivers are good. Kirk Cousins is good. And it looks like they might have a head coach. So
they really do have a lot of star talent. I mean, Danielle Hunter even.
Yeah, they got Darius Smith over from the Packers who sacked his old buddy Aaron Rodgers a couple times. You see Aaron Rodgers try to go and block Zadarius Smith?
No.
He went to block him, but not really. It was kind of a fun thing, and Smith just shoved him down. Then they got up and laughed. All right. Into the next game. We had the Chiefs and the Cardinals. And me, for some reason, I picked the Cardinals. I thought they were going to win this game. But instead, they got destroyed. 44-21. Yikes.
During this game, I had the next game we'll talk about on my main screen.
Mm.
But at one point, I was watching Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes play at the same time, and I could not have been happier. It's like football heaven watching those two guys play.
Oh, yeah. You got two of the best
ball throwers. It just seems like no matter who the Chiefs lose on either side of the ball, they're just still going to be good. They lose DBs. They just recycle them in. Mm-hmm. They lose Tyreek Hill. Mahomes still throws for 360 and 5 touchdowns.
As long as they have Travis Kelce on offense with Patrick Mahomes, they will be good, I believe.
And Andy Reid on the sideline just scheming up the other guys to get them open.
Yeah, their plays are ridiculous. Like, I watch the Bears offense, and I'm like, it looks so hard to get yards. Then you watch the Chiefs offense, and it's like 15 yards every play. It's like, how? just how does that happen?
You guys were supposed to have the Chiefs offense.
Oh, yeah, Matt Nagy.
He was supposed to be the guy. I thought he was going to be the guy. I was honestly terrified when you guys hired him because I thought he was going to be great.
I thought he looked like a child molester when we hired him. And that was my first thought. But then he won Coach of the Year. And I'm like, all right, maybe. Then it just went downhill. But yeah, Arizona didn't look great. Kyler Murray, all right game. I saw a stat. It was double XP weekend this weekend for Call of Duty, and Kyler Murray has not won a football game on double XP weekend.
Well, I was going to bring up that the Modern Warfare 2 beta comes out this weekend, so he's going to have another poor
week. He's going to have another poor game. Hopefully they're playing a bad team, because he will not be focused and would not have done those 4 hours of study time outside of class.
Their offense, though, is... I have some concerns about the Cardinals.
Which is sad because they have so many big names that should just be going off.
Hopefully when Hopkins comes back, that'll shore up the wide receiver position. But I'm concerned about him a little bit older, coming off an injury.
Mm. Injured, or I guess, what do you get busted for?
Oh, yeah, he had PEDs. But wasn't there an injury last season, or am I wrong about that?
No, you're right. Late last season, he was out for at least 4 or 5 weeks. I guess Rondale Moore was out this week for the Cardinals, too, which is their speedy slot guy from Purdue.
And then their rookie tight end, Trey McBride, was also out. So if they get some of those guys back,
they'll be a little bit better.
Yeah.
But they just got to click it all together, and Cliff Kingsbury's got to scheme up some better stuff.
And you also see James Conner with 10 carries, 26 yards. Did get a touchdown. He always finds the end zone.
He does. Impressive.
I'm just not sold on him as a number one running back.
No, he had the fantastic year last year, but yeah, I just don't think he can keep that production up, especially if he's only going to get 26 yards on 10 touches.
He's a 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of guy.
Yeah.
He'll get you 3 yards if you need him. It's going to be very hard for him to get more than that.
I agree.
Consistently.
I agree. All right, moving to the Chargers and Raiders, where we had the battle of offenses. Not really, but kind of. Should have been a higher score game, I thought, but...
I was surprised by the score at the end of it. They both looked good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Carr had some interceptions, yeah. But he is obviously in love with Davante Adams.
Yep.
Barely looked away from him. Herbert just had a phenomenal game. There was...
He had so many wow throws.
That's exactly what I was going to say. There were so many moments where I just saw him make a pass, and I was like, holy shit. Nobody else can, or maybe one other guy can make the type of throws he makes.
Yeah, he was just putting that ball in the tightest places. And, of course, his arm on the deep throws is just crazy. Yeah, he's truly, behind Aaron Rodgers, he's probably the best arm talent in the league.
Yeah.
Than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes, Allen, Rodgers, Herbert, those guys are just on a different level from everybody else right now.
It's
Prime
crazy.
Stafford I would throw in there, but he's not that guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just always have to bring up Matthew Stafford.
Oh, no, yeah, I respect. Matthew Stafford has been that guy for a while.
I have one of my good friends is a Bengals fan, and he hates Justin Herbert.
Why?
There's this, like, between Chargers and Bengals thing, there's... Just Herbert versus Burrow debate.
Same draft.
And so a lot of people, I mean, personally, I would think Herbert's the better quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I also think both teams got the perfect quarterback for their team.
I agree, yes.
But he hates Herbert. So I talk up Herbert so much just to get under his skin a little bit.
I think, yeah, Justin Herbert's got more talent football-wise, but I think Joe Burrow's got more moxie football-wise and more swagger.
Yeah, for sure.
And leadership.
Herbert just has every single tool.
Every tool, yeah. Every tool you want a quarterback. Height, arm talent, legs, accuracy. But Austin Eckler surprisingly had a down game. He only had 36 yards on 14 carries. That's not a good average.
I was a little bit surprised by that, too. I thought maybe the Vegas defense would be a little bit more poor against the run.
Mm-hmm.
But a good start for them.
Good start. Khalil Mack broke out with his first game with the Chargers. He had 3 sacks. I miss him already.
Once the Chargers get J.C. Jackson back, they should be special.
Yeah, just their defense this year. They added Kyle Van Noy, J.C. Jackson, like you said, Sante Samuel Jr.'s second year, even though he got routed up by Davante Adams on that one play where he spun him around 360. Yeah.
It's hard to cover that guy, though.
It really is. He's got the best route runner in the league. All right, to the next. Our Sunday night game, we had the Buccaneers at the Cowboys. And honestly, for the Cowboys, I don't know. Your season's already over. Dak Prescott gets hurt. He's out 6 weeks. Your backup quarterbacks are Cooper Rush and Will Greer. Good luck. Yeah. Maybe trade for Jimmy G. That's a possibility.
There is some talk about that, which is, I mean, if you're in the trade for Jimmy G discussion, it's not looking good for you.
Yeah, agreed. But yeah, Cowboys look like garbage. Both offenses really didn't get it going too much. It was nice to see Julio Jones kind of back to himself out there.
And then immediately get up and hold his back.
Yeah, then immediately
he's an old man.
Yeah, he just... even the TB12 method's not going to help his body at this point.
But if he can stay on the field, they have... I mean, even if he's off the field, they have great weapons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Leonard Fournette, 127. Micah Parsons is still a freaking freak. That dude sacked Tom Brady like twice, and he's just... athletic. He's just an athlete. Michael Parsons is an athlete.
Did you see the Leonard Fournette, Michael Parsons back and forth on Twitter?
I did, yes. Michael Parsons got butt hurt because he got blew up.
That block was vicious.
That was dirty. I saw that real time. Like, oh my gosh. Like, he got his head snapped back then all the way down to the ground.
Von Miller did come to Michael Parsons' defense, and he's basically asking for a rule change to make sure they don't take those type of hits as an engaged pass rusher.
Yeah, but he was about to get off that block and go get the quarterback. Yeah. So I'm with Leonard. And if I'm making that hit, I'm making that hit too.
Yes, you have to go for it.
I'm laying you out. But yeah, all in all, I don't know. Cowboys, but maybe it's your year next year.
It's every other year for them. They just have to. I mean, Sean Payton's going to be on the sideline next year, so. I truly believe that.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know what Sean Payton's going to do.
Have you seen the Sean Payton movie on Netflix?
No, it stars Kevin James.
I encourage you to watch that movie.
Really? Is it worth it?
It's worth it for a couple of reasons. First of all, I don't think it's like actually a terrible movie.
Okay.
But the main reason to watch it is a love letter to the Dallas Cowboys.
Really?
At one point in the movie, his son is basically begging him to coach for the Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
I feel like there's some hints in that movie.
Okay, then yeah. Cowboys don't go 500 or they don't make the playoffs. McCarthy's out and Sean Payton's in.
All right. And then they're in the Super Bowl.
Probably, if Dak can stay healthy. All right, then we had our Monday night game, which for me was a letdown because my boy Russell Wilson, he did decent. He didn't take over the game, but they lost 17-16 in his return to Seattle.
Were you surprised to see him get booed?
I was. I don't know why you would boo him. He's nothing but a great guy. He did much work at children's hospitals and hospitals around Seattle. Won you a Super Bowl. Yeah. I don't know. But a passionate fan base, he's gone now. Boo him. Why not?
It was kind of, I mean, this is very different. But last year, Michigan wins the Big Ten, beats Ohio State for the first time, and I don't even remember how long. Go to the college football playoff. With Cade McNamara. This week's game, he's on the bench because they're doing a little quarterback battle. He started week one. J.J. McCarthy, the sophomore, starting week two.
Much better.
Cade comes in, and the fans immediately boo him.
Oh, you should not boo that kid. So hard. You should not boo that kid.
Like, unbelievable. But that's just fandom.
That's fandom.
Yeah, it really is.
The past is the past. But yeah, they should not be booing. I mean, I agree he's not a good quarterback at all, McNamara, whatever his name is, but he beat Ohio State. He took you to the college football playoffs.
Yeah, he did what he needed to do, and now you have the better guy. There's no reason to be mad at the guy before.
100%. He did something that no quarterback's done in many years. But moving on, I guess. That's sports. You got to live in the now.
How do you feel about Geno Smith outplaying Russell Wilson?
I did not see that coming at all. I wrote him off, but he didn't write me back.
I think he's not an upgrade from Russell Wilson.
Mm.
I want to be very clear. I don't think he's a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. But if you're going to have Pete Carroll as your head coach, Geno Smith is probably the better quarterback for the way he wants to play.
Yeah, because Pete Carroll just wants to run the ball. Then he'll dump the ball off here and there.
Quick passes, Russ never does.
Russ likes to dance around and take those deep shots. But yeah, Geno Smith played great. I don't think he's going to be able to do that every game, but he'll definitely have
3 to 4 games like that throughout the year.
At one point in the game, Troy Aikman is just gushing over his command of the line of scrimmage. And then on the opposite side, you had so many miscues with the Broncos. Delay of games, bad snaps, false starts.
Yes, they still got to gel together. Who's the Broncos coach? Didn't they have, attempted a 64-yarder for the win?
65.
Yeah, one shy of the NFL record instead of letting Russell Wilson try to give you a first down.
And other than that, too, they had
a lot of bad clock management is what I heard. I fell asleep at halftime, so I did not get a
How much time they had at one point. They had, I think they had one snap after the 2-minute warning or something like that. And before the fourth down play, they had 50-some seconds and let it trickle all the way down. I can't remember who tweeted it, but they said the best-case scenario for Nathaniel Hackett is that they didn't actually want to go for it on fourth, and Russell Wilson went into business for himself and got him up to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's a shit show 100%. If that is the case.
100%.
And then the other side of it is you had almost 2 minutes of real time to call your final play. And then you decide to kick a 65-yard field goal.
And you had like 3 timeouts. I was watching clips from the Manning cast, and you can see just Peyton Manning trying to call a timeout with and the clock's ticking out. It's like 50 seconds, 45. He's like, why are we not calling a timeout? But yeah, it was wild. They'll bounce back. Coaching's got to get better. Clock management and just the fluidness between the offensive line.
And it was Russell's first experience playing against the Lumen Field crowd.
Yes. I don't think he liked it.
No.
It tastes what other quarterbacks have to deal with that crowd. They get loud. They get loud and proud. All right, let's preview this coming week a little bit, touch on that. What game are you looking forward to the most this coming week? Is it the Thursday night game?
Yep, I was just going to say Thursday night game. Like I said, if you get to watch Herbert and Mahomes play football, it's football heaven. Yeah, I cannot wait for that game.
We're starting out with 2 good Thursday games. Usually Thursday night games are just the terrible AFC South teams against the Falcons or something. But we get some good head-to-head Super Bowl caliber teams in these Thursdays, and I'm liking it.
This one's a hard game to pick as well.
It is. It is. They split the series against each other last year, I believe.
I think so. I think you're right about that.
You know what? I'm going to take the Chargers. I just think their defense is better. They got pass rush now, and Kansas City doesn't run the ball that much, and that's really what's killed the Chargers in the past, is stopping the run. So I'm going to take Justin Herbert and the Chargers in this one.
This one's kind of a coin flip for me, so I'm just going to pick who I want to win, and that is also the Chargers.
All right, there we go. There we go. All right, our next game, we got the Jets and the Browns. Ooh. Joe Flacco versus Jacoby Brissett. This will be on everyone's TV.
This is, you're right. Everybody's going to be tuning into this one.
I'm going to take the Browns just because of Nick Chubb and Myles Garrett.
It is in Cleveland as well. They do have that top-tier talent that the Jets don't really have. I'm picking the Jets, though.
You're picking the Jets? All right.
This is my upset of the week, just because I think the Jets should be an improved team from last year.
They should be, yes.
And with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, the Browns are more beatable than they would be with the notorious Predator.
Massage.
I already feel bad about this pick. I'm switching. I'm going to the Browns. The Jets are not going to win that game. The Jets are not winning that game.
All right, fair enough. We both go Browns.
I tried.
We tried. Maybe next week, Jets. All right, then we got the Commanders going to Detroit to take on the Lions of Motor City.
So, last week, so we do these on Tuesdays. If we would have made our picks last week before the game, right before kickoff, I would have picked the Lions to beat the Eagles. So I'm definitely picking the Lions to beat the Commanders.
You don't think Carson Wentz goes off again for 4 touchdowns? Or it doesn't matter if he does?
I don't know. It's so hard for me to actually be optimistic about this team.
Yeah.
Because Jared Goff is the quarterback. I still think the defense isn't great. But they are doing some interesting things with the defensive scheme we didn't really talk about. They were doing the NASCAR package that the Giants ran in their Super Bowl run with Michael Strahan and those guys, where they're putting all four defensive ends on the line, nice, and just having like them go at it. So I really like seeing that. And I still just am not buying into the Commanders.
Not yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet. I'm with you. I'm going to take the Lions as well. They're favored by 2.5. I think they'll get it done by 2.5. I think they'll win by a field goal. Lost by a field goal this week. They'll win by one this coming week.
They're favored?
They are, by 2.5.
Oh, I love to see that. The Detroit Lions are favored in a football game.
You don't see that often.
Wow.
All right, then we got a division rivalry, the Buccaneers and the Saints. And this, to me, is going to come down to Jameis Winston. If he plays like he did last week or decent, I believe the Saints will beat the Buccaneers. So I'm going to take the Saints.
The Saints dominated the Buccaneers last year. They tend to beat the Buccaneers. But for some reason, I just have a feeling that Tampa is going to win. I really can't explain it. There's really no analysis to back it up. It's just a gut feeling.
I get that. It's hard to count out Tom Brady, too. And Leonard Fournette had a good week last week. So, yeah, both teams, this will be a good game. I think this will be you think it's going to be more of an offensive game or defensive?
Defensive. Just, I think any game the Saints are involved in should be a defensive game. Mm-hmm. They didn't look great from what I've seen against the Falcons, but...
Yeah, I did not expect them to let up that many points against the Falcons.
It is week one, and the Falcons are running a different offense than they did previously, so...
True. They got a mobile quarterback now. All right. Takes us to the Panthers and the Giants.
I picked the Giants last week. I'm going to keep riding the Giants train. I'm taking the Giants again.
Taking the Giants. I'm going to go with the Panthers. I'm going to ride the Panthers again. They let me down last week, but I think Baker Mayfield breaks out and has a good game.
New England, Pittsburgh.
I'm going to take the Steelers just because of their defense. Watt will be out for this game, so that'll hurt a little bit, but I still just think their defense will be able to get to Mac Jones.
There's absolutely no way I would pick the Steelers to win this game if New England had an offensive coordinator. But it's so hard for me to pick for a team that is coached by Matt Patricia on offense.
Yeah, on offense.
The Steelers' defense, even without Watt, should be able to confuse Mac Jones, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have to go Steelers as well.
I do too. And I don't think the Patriots, I don't know, I don't think their pass rush is super phenomenal, so I think Trubisky will have a little bit more time with his line. Maybe not much, but a little bit more. All right, then we got the Colts and the Jaguars. Little AFC South matchup. Both teams lost last week. They need a division win. Who you got?
I think the Colts are the better team, but I also thought they were better than the Texans. So, and they tied.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know, but I think I just have to go with the Colts because they do have more talent than the Jags.
I would agree. And the Jaguars always let up a huge rushing game from an AFC South. It's usually to Derrick Henry, but the next best thing is Jonathan Taylor. And I think he'll have another 150-yard game. Maybe 200 because the Jags have never been able to stop the run.
Battle of former co-workers as well. Doug Peterson and Frank Reich was his offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A little reunion for their little Super Bowl run they had together. There we go. Yeah, Colts though. Both got the Colts on that one?
Yep.
All right. Dolphins and the Ravens. This will be a good matchup. A very good matchup, I believe.
This
is a hard one to pick.
I think ultimately I'm going Baltimore just because I believe in Lamar Jackson more than I believe in Tua.
Same.
But it should be a very good game.
It should be a good game. I think it'll come down to defense and not allowing those big plays because each team relies kind of heavily on big plays. Or at least the Ravens did last week. They usually have their run game going. But I just think the Ravens defense will be able to hold Tyreek Hill in check a little bit and not allow those huge deep plays.
And I would assume J.K. Dobbins plays in this one.
I'm hoping so.
And if he plays, their running game should be better.
Yes.
For the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the Ravens as well. I don't remember if I already said that or not.
Right. Ooh, we got the Falcons and the Rams. This is an interesting matchup. With the way the Rams played last week, I think they're going to bounce back and I think they'll throttle the Falcons.
If I'm picking the Rams as well, but I want to say if they lose, I'm full on hitting the panic button on them.
I would agree. You can't be losing to them. Yeah.
Even if they are an improved Falcons team, they're not improved enough to be beating the Super Bowl champions after they had a letdown in week one. It's just...
Yeah, they shouldn't be able to beat you with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey on the other side.
That alone should get you past the Falcons.
We can move on to Seattle, San Francisco.
This is also another great game. God, we got some good games matched up. I'm going to take the 49ers. I think they don't hurt themselves with penalties as much as they did against the Bears. It won't be a slop fest. Trey Lance will look a little bit better. They'll get some more passes for him. I think Elijah Mitchell, is he out still?
Yeah, he's going to be out, I think, at least 6 weeks.
Six weeks. All right, well. So
Debo Samuel is going to be running back one, if I had to guess.
Yeah, he pretty much took all the carries last game. And really, it doesn't really matter what running backs in that system. They all still tend to get close to 100 yards if it's a non-downpour game. But, yeah, I don't think the Seahawks will be able to replicate the magic they had on Monday. And it's not at home. It's in San Francisco. So 49ers for me.
I'm glad you mentioned that it was on the road because I was wavering and I was considering picking Seattle, but on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Kyle Shanahan is just one of the best at scheming up a run game. So it shouldn't matter too much that Mitchell's down other than for my fantasy team. I'm going to go with the 49ers as well.
49ers. Alrighty. We got the Bengals and the Cowboys.
This should have been the game I was looking forward to the most.
Yes.
But with Dak out, I just can't see the Cowboys winning.
No, I don't see much hope for the Cowboys without Dak. Unless, yeah, no.
Cooper Rush did have, you know, his one start previously. He had an incredible game. They had a win. But
I just don't think it's going to be enough to get past the Bengals. And I think Joe Burrow is not going to have 5 turnovers again this week.
No, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. And Jamar Chase. They still got the best receiving core. Joe Mixon had a good game last week.
I think they gave up 7 sacks, but the offensive line should be improved. They just really haven't played together too much, so I think they'll have a little bit of a bounce back this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Joe Burrow, I think he's going to start a little slow this year just because he missed a lot of camp time with that surgery he had to get, his appendix and everything, and they're not as fluid. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to have a lot of interceptions, and they'll get going. Bengals by at least 2 touchdowns.
Defenses are playing them a little bit different than they did last year too, so they'll have to find a little bit different of a rhythm.
Yeah, they're going to start taking some of those shorter throws because they love the medium to deep throws.
Yep.
But yeah, Bengals by at least 2 for me. Texans and Broncos. I'm just going to cut to it. I'm going to think the Broncos are going to win this, but who knows?
I really did not think they'd lose to Seattle.
Yeah, I didn't either. I had that one totally wrong. I think I said they were going to win by 21 in that game.
The coaching blunders were reminiscent of Freddie Kitchens in Cleveland. I'm not writing Nathaniel Hackett off after 1 week, but it was brutal.
Yeah, it was terrible to see.
But Lovie Smith is also Lovie Smith and still doing stupid stuff.
I love Lovie Smith. He was great for the Bears, but it is Lovie Smith. And I don't know how he got another coaching job before a lot of these other guys. Like, he kind of just snuck his way into that head coaching job.
It just kind of popped up, yeah.
He was at Illinois rocking his great gray beard, and he was on a defensive coordinator.
He does have a gray beard.
He is fantastic. He's the Black Santa. That is for sure. All right, another good 425 game. This is the one I'm probably looking forward to in this slate. Hopefully, I get it on TV. But the Cardinals and the Raiders, what are you thinking? What are you looking for this game?
The Cardinals really need to win this one.
Yes, they do.
I mean, obviously, the Raiders lost as well, but I think, really, I guess it's a
must for both. Must for both of them, yeah. They got tough divisions.
It's really hard to start your year 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, does that stat is like very few teams have ever made the playoffs starting 0-2. Does that change now that there's an extra game, you think?
I would believe it would have to because you have that extra week to try to get
see
back.
More. Might see more teams finding their way in after slow starts, possibly.
Yeah, we'll see more ESPN stats pop up.
I think I don't buy into the Raider or the Cardinals experience. I'm picking the Raiders.
I agree with you. I mean, I think the Cardinals should be able to win some games and make the playoffs. I got them making the playoffs, but I believe the Raiders will win this game.
The Derek Carr to Davante Adams connection just looks to be a special one.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be dirty. That's just going to be like an Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams connection.
And, of course, still he loves Darren Waller as well. Oh, yeah. I like Josh Jacobs a lot.
I'm not so huge on Josh Jacobs, but I do love Darren Waller. I think he's a fantastic
I think
end.
I'm one of the few people that really likes Josh Jacobs. A lot of people don't like him.
He just doesn't give you much. He's a good power back, but other than that, it's just you're not getting
I kind of like those guys. I like the bruisers.
Oh, I respect
And he's a better bruiser than James Conner. I'm going to bring him up again.
Better bruiser? Yes, but I think James Conner is the better all-around back.
You think so?
Yeah, I would take James Conner over Josh Jacobs.
I'm never doing that.
Really?
I think James Conner is a bum.
Really?
I cannot stand James Conner.
That's crazy.
He's a...
Why? Just because he was in...
He's just a goal line guy. I don't want him running the ball any other time other than on the goal line.
Is it because he was a cancer patient? Do you hate cancer people?
No, I'm definitely against cancer, pro-cancer patient. I want to get that out there.
Just want to make that clear. That's not why he hates.
I do also hate John Mechie, though. No, just kidding.
All right, let's move on. We got the Bears and the Packers. Yes!
How is this a Sunday night football game, by the way?
Just because it's the oldest rivalry in NFL history.
And it is early, so there's some intrigue between the two teams.
Yeah, the Bears haven't lost 10 games yet. But honestly, after watching last week's games of both these teams, I'm going to take the Chicago Bears. I'm going to put my heart out there. And I'm
like
going to say...
I like you doing that.
Their defense is going to give Aaron Rodgers problems. And I think for once, Aaron Rodgers will not be able to just light us up across the middle of the field. And that's my hope.
It's Bears. I can't pick against the Packers on Monday Night Football. Or Sunday Night Football, sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I was not expecting myself to pick the Bears.
I love you going with your heart, though. I don't ever want to pick against the Lions because I ultimately do want them to win every football game. So mm-hmm. I don't want to be in the back of my mind, well, crap, I don't want to get my pick wrong. You know?
Yeah. I will take this one as an L. I'm going to have to put my heart out on this one just because it's the Bears versus Packers.
If you would have told me you were picking them before we watched week one, I'd have been like, you are nuts.
Oh, yeah. No way I would have picked them. I'm a realistic Bears fan. When I know we're terrible, I will admit we're terrible. And I have not seen that yet. So we're still in the potentially good category for me. So I got the Bears. You're taking the Packers.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Oh, we got two Monday night games this week. There we go. I missed that in the start of the week. We got the Titans versus the Bills, which was a great game last year.
I don't think it'll be a great game this year. I think we're going to watch the Bills in another blowout in primetime.
I agree. I think they're just going to dominate the Titans.
The Titans just aren't who they were a year ago.
I think they got to just change it up, send freaking... What's a Tannehill on his way? Send him to Dallas maybe and let Malik Willis take over. Just give your offense something new to look at.
I don't know if I ever really bought into the Titans as like a real true Super Bowl contender.
Oh, no.
But have we ever seen something that was viewed as a championship window close so fast?
Philadelphia Eagles. Remember that way back when they had Mike
Vick? That's a good point. The dream team.
That was pretty close. They didn't get anything. But yeah, the Titans, I never thought of them as a Super Bowl team. I just think weak division, they're almost a lock for the playoffs every year. They just got to beat out the Colts pretty much. And you got Derrick Henry. He should give you at least 5 wins. But yeah, this game, they're not getting it done. Bills by a lot.
Tannehill is going to be
under duress. Yeah, this is his last year in Tennessee, I believe. Then our final game for week 2. Dun, 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 dun. The Vikings versus the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a good game.
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing this one.
This is a good game.
Should be the more entertaining Monday Night Football game.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I don't like the start times between these games. Do you notice this? They're going to be happening simultaneously.
I did not notice that. I thought that said, 7:15 and 8:30. That's not ideal. Why don't you just start the Titans-Bills game out?
Typically, it would be like a 7:15 and then like 10 o'clock, right? That's how they've
done
it. Yeah,
they play it back to back.
I don't like that at all. I mean, I'm going to watch both of them while they're on.
Yes.
This is a really hard game to pick.
I think both these teams are like evenly matched on like almost every position. I'm going to take, you know what? I'm going to take the Vikings. I hate the Vikings, but I think they got something cooking this year.
I was also going to take the Vikings. And I'm going to flip now.
Okay. There we go. Have a little competition.
I think Jalen Hurts is going to be the difference maker. He's the more dynamic quarterback, even though I like Kirk Cousins more than most, I think. He's going to escape the pocket a couple of times, convert a couple of weird third downs like he did against the Lions, and they'll find a victory. It'll be a close one, though.
It will be a close one. I think this will be like a 32-28 kind of game, something like that.
I really hope to see A.J. Brown and Justin Jefferson just duking it out.
Oh, my God. Yeah, go catch for catch. Yep. Yeah, that would be amazing. Both over like 150 yards.
I like watching Adam Thielen too. He's good. I like Adam Thielen. He just doesn't get his love anymore since JJ's there.
I guess that wraps it up pretty much.
That wraps up, yes, our week two.
I want to actually backtrack to week one. I meant to do this before.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mention this ahead of time because I kind of just wanted your gut reaction. Can you give me a player of the week for week one?
Week one player of the week is Justin Jefferson.
That's who I was picking as well. Jefferson. I think he's probably the pretty clear-cut guy.
I would agree. I would say him or probably Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, 5 touchdowns, 360 is kind of tough to vote against, but...
Yeah, but... Yeah.
184 and 2 touchdowns.
Position player, yeah. On 9 receptions, it's pretty dang good. Yeah, give it to Justin Jefferson.
That wraps it up for episode 2 of Gunslingers, WKTN's Pro Football Podcast. A preview of some things to come. After the Week 3 matchups, we'll be doing some power rankings. Personally, I don't like preseason power rankings, and I think it's really hard to truly gauge teams from week 1 and 2. But after week 3, that's when you really get an idea of what teams are going to be like for the rest of the season. So we'll get more in-depth with that kind of talk in the future. From the Dennis Beverly Podcast Studio, that's what I'm going to be calling it now. For AR Boyd, I'm Brennan Byrne, and we'll see you next week.